Welcome to the Parkway Life Church podcast. Thank you for taking time to let God's Word impact you. You're always encouraged to know God is touching lives through this ministry. Please visit parkwaylife.com to let us know. You can also hit the Giving tab to sow into the ministry that you are experiencing. Now, prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
I want to read a scripture to you. It's Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. And I want to read it kind of slow, and I want us to amplify it a little bit here. It says, in fact, would you read it with me? It says, but without faith, let's try it again, you ready? But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. I want to stop right here, and I'll just say this. I'm not preaching yet, okay? I want to do something that was kind of laid on my heart a few weeks ago, and I haven't spoken to this to no one, but I want to do something. And it may take me 2 months to do this or whatever, but you're going to hear me every once in a while say Parkway 101. And I really felt like the Lord laid this on my heart. But when I say Parkway 101, it means I'm about to tell you what is some anchors in this church. And it's probably not going to be my key message. It's going to be probably before I preach. But when I read this, this makes me stop and give you my first Parkway 101, and that is this. You've got to have faith before you can be saved, before you can do all these things. What gets you on the playing field? And one of the anchors of Parkway is you've got to believe on Jesus Christ. You've got to become a believer. You've got to believe in Jesus Christ. You have to believe in Jesus Christ. You have to believe that His Word is real, that it's true, that it's relevant to speak into your life. Sometimes we jump in and we talk about repentance, all these other things that I'll bring out in other weeks, but before you can do anything, you need faith in Christ. You've got to say, Lord, I believe in You. Is that all right? That's Parkway 101. And I'm going to do that for a little while, nothing deep, nothing crazy. But look at this scripture. But without faith, everybody say without faith, it is impossible to please Him. You have to have faith. It is the anchor. It's the core. You can't get anywhere else until you have faith. And sometimes I think we try to push people to other places in their spiritual existence, and they're struggling and broken faith. You need faith. Is that cool? Parkway 101. All right, now to my message. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must, you've got to be a believer, must believe, and I like this part, that He is. Somebody say this, I believe that He is. But let's amplify the He, all right? I believe that He is. I believe that He is. And look at this next part, and that, say it with me, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Two key things here, He is. You've got to believe that He is. He is. He is all that. He is what? He's everything you need. He is that. And that He is, what? A rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. It's the Parkway 101 of who we are, and that is believing on Christ and believing that He is. There is no other. He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. I find in this scripture and all throughout the Word of God that God wants us to depend on Him. He just wants us to depend. He wants us to lean in to Him, to depend upon Him, to lean into who He is. And I really think it is so easy for us to sometimes to live inside our easy faith zone. Y'all know what the easy faith zone is? I kind of made that up. And that is that place where we operate in ourselves, that we never have to stretch out our faith to take a risk, to stretch our faith to believe something that is impossible. That we live in our easy faith zone. And it is a place spiritually that's a little scary to live because you're never pushing your faith. But it's also a kind of a comfort zone because it's the easy faith zone. You never ask anything big. You never reach for anything big. You never believe that you can go to a big place in God, believing for big things in your life, because you're in the easy faith zone. When you are asked to pray over somebody, you love to pray over headaches and you hate to pray over cancer. Because headaches, you know, we feel like God can do. Cancer, we don't. Why? Man, somebody so-and-so died in cancer, and somebody this and somebody that. But I heard somebody say they got healed of a headache. But we live in our easy faith zone. And that's why I'm calling this risky business. Because when you have to step out of the easy faith zone, you get into risky business area. Risky places for your faith to have to stretch out. Risky business is when you come to the end of yourself. It's when yourself ends and all of a sudden your faith has to kick in. You see, there are certain things that I can do on my own. And you can do on your own. Why? You're an intelligent person. You love God. You're a hard worker. You've got doctors all around you. You've got physicians. You've got money in your bank. Maybe so, maybe no, but you've got enough to get you a meal today. And you've got that zone. Some of your zone may be wider than others, but you've got the potential of doing certain things for self. And then there's that area. That area that you're a little scared to go to, or that area that you're literally scared to conquer in your own life, or that struggle in your life that you're not willing to tap into, because God can do all of this because I'm working with God. But outside of this area, I need God to work on me. I need God to do his thing all by himself with just my faith believing that he can do it. And that's when I come to the end of myself. And from that point on is what I'm calling today risky business. It's when you find the end. Listen to this statement. It's when you find the end of yourself, that is the beginning of God. And so some of us never meet the beginning of God because we're not stretched to the end of ourself. But God is calling us to depend upon him. All throughout the word, he's saying, lean into me. Put your shoulder into my bosom. Trust me. Believe in me. And he's calling through all of our heroes through the word of God, these stories of struggles and trials and tribulations and ups and downs, all to teach this lesson that if you'll get to the end of yourself, you'll find the beginning of who I am. In your faith. Is that all right? But what's stopping you and I from going to that place? What is stopping you and I from reaching that spot? And that is fear. Fear. They told me when we built this new platform, don't do this. And I just said, right. No, they didn't tell me not to do it because they didn't think it could hold it. They didn't think I had the ability to stand here. I'm going to tell you, I'm very coordinated. Scott Popek, Brandon Pippen. I know y'all ain't got no game, but I got game, Jack. Now, if I fall off of here, it's going to be a bad day. And I have set myself up. Pride cometh before a fall. Fear. What causes me to take this next step? Look at there. Fear. Fear. Fear impedes me from taking risk in my life. Fear stops me from taking risk in my life. It stops me from stretching my faith. Fear, fear. And we don't have faith sometimes for fear of losing control and being disappointed in life. And so we're willing to step off of the faith ledge that God is wanting to step out into who he is. And we step back into our easy comfort zone and live in the comfort zone. And God's saying, come on, I'm calling you out on the waters. But it's easier to sing the song than live the life. It's easier to sing the song, call me out upon the water. It's easier to sing the song than to step out on the water. Can I get a witness? Come on, people. It's tough because fear impedes us from taking risk. And life has taught, you know what, I find this in people seeking after the Spirit of the Lord with this evidence of tongues in their life. I see it all the time that they really don't want to let go of control. And the unique thing about when people speak another language, and if that's a new thing to you, let me just kind of briefly educate you on that, just really short here today. And that some people really don't want to take that step and opening up to that. First of all, they don't understand it, and that's understandable. But the second thing is this. When you step into that realm, you're kind of out of control. And I don't mean that you have to roll on the floor and spit and slobber and snot and shake your hair down and sling bobby pins. That's not what I'm trying to say. But I am trying to say this, that you have to give up and let God take over. You have to give up and say, Lord, I'm going to give you the most unruly thing in my life. The Bible even talks about that, and that is my tongue. And I'm going to give that to you. And when I give that up to you, God steps in and says, when you give up is where I take over. And some people will live their life not ever giving up in that area. Can I invite everyone under the sound of my voice today? Don't stop there. If you have not received the infilling of the Spirit in that manner, I encourage you. It's for whosoever will. It's not for just him and not him. It's for everybody, whosoever will. I didn't mean to go there, but that's good. It's for everybody. You say, well, it's not for me. It's a gift, and it's not for me. I'd have to explain all that. But I'm going to tell you, the gift of the infilling of the Holy Ghost is for everyone. The Spirit is for everybody. Somebody say, give me the Spirit, Lord. And so I need you to do this. I'm calling you out on the waters. I'm asking you to step out. I'm asking you to do more than sing the song, but take the step. I want you to step out and maybe if it's throwing your hands up or asking God to cleanse you and wash you, and there's a cleansing, and then he comes in to feel what's being cleansed, and you open yourself up to the Spirit of God, but you've got to give up control. He said this in the Word of God, and here I go off the notes again. Way off, and here we go, but it's just so much fun to do it. But he says this. He talks about the fact that when you give up is when he steps in. When you give up, he walks into your life and begins to do what you cannot do. And he took the most unruly object in you, your tongue, and says, I'm going to do something that I'm going to give you a new language. You're going to be a new creature in Christ. Old things are going to pass away, and behold, all things are new. And it's this born-again experience that is absolutely beautiful, and it's taken our world by storm. This used to be across the tracks. Some people even said it was demon-possessed because they wasn't reading their Bible. They were reading their denominational handbooks, but when they got in the Word of God, they found out that the Word of God is full of people being filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost in the New Testament. It's all right to step out on that. Man, I thought y'all would give the Lord a hand clap on that. That's just, come on, step out on that. You know, the Bible talks about that it's tough for a rich man to make it in the kingdom of heaven. It's not the fact that he's rich. It's not the fact that he's got money and it's hard for people that have money, you know, just because they have money, that he don't like rich people. It's not that. It's the fact of their governance area is larger. Their area that they think they're in control of is bigger than the poor man. The poor man says, I have nothing. So if God has this, that's why we can go into the Philippines and we can go into Honduras and we can preach the gospel just like I did just here this morning about speaking in tongues. And they'll file out and they'll come around the front. And I watched a video one time of 100,000 people being filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. You know why? They don't have anything. They don't have AC at the house. They don't have indoor plumbing. They don't have anything in the bank. The only thing they've got is God. And I've tried everything I've got, which is not much, and I don't have anything left, I'm going to try God, and I'll take you up on it. And they take them up. But we start getting rich, and everybody in this house and in the sound of my voice is filthy rich. Filthy rich. I don't mean that you own a Rolls Royce, but if you've got AC in your house, you're probably 90% better than most people in this world. You're rich. If you have food to eat, if you don't have to go 10 miles to get water, you're filthy rich. And so we've gotten in this comfort zone to the fact of we don't think we need God for our next drink. We don't think we need God for our next meal. And so I can handle what I see around me, and what I see around me is large. But I'm calling Americans today. I'm calling Golden Triangleites today to step out of your comfort zone, step into the zone of God and say, God, I know you gave me a lot, but I'm going to tell you, this rich man is going to lay his things down and step over into who you are, and I want you to take me to a new place in God. Would you stand to your feet, throw your hands in the air, and say, God, I step out into risky, risky territory in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost in this room today. Come on, don't let me preach. Don't let me preach and you not respond to what I'm preaching. Let God grab hold of you. Let him pull you into the waters and the risky place and step out into who he is. Come on, just for a second. Just for a second. Throw your hands up and say, God, do something rich and powerful outside of who I am. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Do you feel what I'm feeling today? There's something... You know what I think I feel today? I think I feel like we're in the God zone. We're out of the safety zone into the God zone. That's where I want to be. Hey, that's where I want to be. I want to be in the God zone, man. I want to be in the God zone. I want to be in that spot where I know God is. Hey, if we can't be in the God zone at church, where can we be? In the God zone. Come on, let's be in the God zone today. If you feel the Lord calling you, if you feel the Lord drawing you, I'll shut up right now. If you've had enough, come on, step into what God has called, he's calling you into. Turn around and shake somebody and say, it's risky business, but I'm willing to go there. Woo, somebody say hallelujah. You may be seated. Life has taught us that things will let us down. People, jobs, spouse, children, even pastors, I'm sorry, will let us down. We learn by a survival motive that we must defend ourselves and play it safe. But God is calling us to do the opposite, and that is risk it all. Risk it all. Put it all on the table. Put all your cards on the table. Put all your wager on him. Do it all. The nation of Israel is at war with the Philistines, and I'm about to preach for the next part of this message a story that is so old, and what I mean is it's old in the fact that you've heard it so many times and so many times preached. And I'm not telling you I'm going to preach it in a better way or a different way than you've ever heard it before. But I want to bring something out that ministered unto me, and I want to pass it into your life. The nation of Israel is at war with the Philistines, and they enlist this guy who is 9 foot tall by 6 inches tall. Huge man. And the average Middle Eastern man is 5 foot 5 inches tall. So this guy is enormous. And his name is Goliath. And he comes out every day, and he is taunting the Israelites, the people of God, the children of God, the ones that he's adopted. He is taunting them at 9 foot 6, taunting them and saying that I defy your God. That is like profanity to a Jewish man. That is like profanity. That is heresy. That is, and he's angry and he's mad and he's in his camp and he's got his armor on and he's angry and he's mad. But fear of taking a risk is stopping him from tackling Goliath. Everything about them in the camp is, we've got the greatest God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And they wore all their stuff, and they got all their stuff, and they believe in this great God and this powerful God. But they're in the comfort zone. They're in the safety zone of their faith. And then here comes a 12-year-old boy down the street with a lunch going, hey, I just want to see my brothers today. Just want to see my bros. Just want to see them. Where are they at? Got some cheese. Got some cheese. I almost said ham, but they didn't have ham. They had some cheese. We've got some things here for you. And here we come. Here we come. And they're walking. And he walks up to a bunch of guys that are standing there scared to death. And they've been hollering. They've been taunting this Goliath and all the Philistines taunting because they have got the Goliath. They've got the big man on their side. And safety zone, and David is furious. He's angry about it. I'm going to read you the story. So it's 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 34 through 37. It says this, but David said to Saul, so he meets with Saul. Saul's king, Saul. He's the king of Israel. He said, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. So he's kind of, look what's about to go on. He's about to give his resume, okay? He's about to give his resume because he's a kid. Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. Listen to this, Saul. I'm going to tell you about this. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it. Boom. He's just that kind of guy. Stepped out. Risky business. He just did it. He said, I went after it. I struck it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. And when it turned on me, I seized it by its hair. That's my sound effects. He seized it by its hair. I struck it. And I killed it. Now that's just bad to the bone. Get you some of that. I struck it and I killed it. Oh, let me give you some more of my resume. Your servant was killed, both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine, this unrepentant knucklehead, is out there, and we'd be like one of them. Because I did the same thing to a bear. I grabbed his nappy head, and I took care of him. And this I did this to a bear and a lion through the power of who I serve, because the uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. Does he know what he's doing? The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. And I want you to look at 1 Samuel chapter 17. This is verse 25. I just read from 34 through 37. But look, verse 25 says, it has this statement in it that I want to show you. That they're trying to convince him, his brothers, Saul, and all that. Look at him and say this. Have you seen the giant? Have you seen the giant, dude? I know you're wanting to go out. Have you seen him yet? Yeah, we said we wanted to go too. But once we saw him, have you seen the giant? What is the giant, I ask you, in your land that has frightened you? Have you seen the giant? This week, some of you saw the giant. What did he look like? Was he 9'6" in your world? Was he 14-foot tall in your world? Was he in the size? Because anytime we look at giants, they always seem to be something bigger than us. It can be that much bigger, but if it's bigger, it feels like it's a giant in our world. And things around us, even though sometimes they're on our team, King Saul is on David's team. His brothers are on his team. But sometimes people around you will try to convince you that even what they see in your life is too big for you to turn over to you and your God. And they will try to hold you back and try to bring fear on you. And every time your faith starts to rise, somebody will try to grab that and try to bring it back down. What is the characteristics of the giant that's in your ear? What's he saying? What's he smell like? What's he taste like? What's he feel like? What's the sound of his voice doing? Everybody hear me? What's going on? Have you seen the giant? Yes, I have. Absolutely, I've seen the giant. Absolutely, Nathan Keating has seen the giant. Have you seen the giant in your life? Because your giant may look different than my giant, but you have a giant. There's something going on. Maybe it's a report. Maybe it's a test. Maybe it's a trial. Maybe it's something up in your world. Maybe it's a valley. Maybe it's a voice. Maybe it's a fear. Every time I risked it all on him, I got to tell you, I have seen the giant. But I've got to tell you this, every time I risked it all on the God who is my Savior, I got to tell you, every single time my God stepped on the playing field with me and helped bring me victory, every time I stepped out in the risky area of my faith, God always assured me that I will walk with you. I will stand by you. I will walk with you in the valley. I'll walk with you on your mountain. I'll walk with you in your dry place. I'll walk with you under the waterfalls of your life. I'll speak. I'll help. I'll do it. I'll be with you. I know you have giants, but I'm a giant of a God that's greater than anything that you've ever seen before. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. There is no one like him, no one before him, no one after him. There is no one like my God. I will stand and proclaim it. I will stand and believe it. When my faith begins to waver, my faith picks me back up again and says, don't give up, son. I know you're in risky territory, but that's where is your end of you becomes the beginning of me. Ooh, somebody give the Lord a shout. Somebody give the Lord a shout. Ooh. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. What's the elephant? You may be seated. What's the elephant in the room? What's the elephant in the room that is staring you down? Have you seen the giant? I had this crazy thought go through my mind, but then it went back out. And that was last night, and I thought, I'll put a mic out and have people walk up and tell me what their giants are that they see, and then I'll make sure it went right back out. Because that was a giant to me. I was scared of some stuff I might get here when you do an open mic. But what is your giant? What is it? Every time I rested all on him, he came through. But God calls me all throughout the Word of God to do ridiculous things. Things that stretch my faith. The Bible's full of ridiculous things, like this, stepping out of the boat for Simon Peter and walking on the water. Ridiculous! This hasn't been done. We don't do this in fishing boats on Galilee. We don't do this. It's a bad storm. We don't do this, but it's ridiculous. The first step, it's risky business. You want to be healed of leprosy? Let me put some mud in your eye. Wait a minute. I don't know what school you went to, but mud doesn't heal people. I know. It's crazy. It's ridiculous. Okay. You got the worst part of it done? No, it's not. Go wash in the Jordan. Lord, there's another river before. No. Go on down to the Jordan. I don't want to go to Jordan. Jordan's muddy. Jordan's nasty. When I start to wash, I'm just going to get dirtier. It's nasty. It's dirty. It's yucky. I didn't ask you if it made sense. I just asked you to do something ridiculous to step out on your faith. It's not really about the Jordan, don't you see? It's really not about the mud, don't you see? It's about you stepping out and believing in the God who placed the mud in your eye. It's stepping out of the ridiculous. And look at this. I'm going to hopefully get this on the screen for you. Sometimes I'm called to do the ridiculous. Sometimes I'm called to do the ridiculous so that I can see the miraculous. I'll take a risk. 1 Samuel 17:33, New Living Translation says, don't be ridiculous? I love that. Don't be ridiculous, Saul replied. There's no way that you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy, and he's been a man of war since his youth. But he starts off the verse by saying, listen to this, don't be ridiculous. You can't do this. But that's at the end of that, where he's calling me into the ridiculous, is what the reason I call it ridiculous is it's out of my comfort zone into that spot in God. And God calls that the sweet spot. It's when I'm out of myself and into him. That's why just a couple weeks before the flood, God was calling this church out, and we didn't even completely get it all, but he's calling us to get out of our comfort zone. And we're starting to speak things into existence, believing by faith. I walked right down here and said, Lord, what am I going to do with these pews? I've got to get more people in here, but they won't sit on pews. That's not anything ugly to you. That's just humanity. We won't sit as close as we will when we sit in chairs. And so, Lord, I don't know what to do. I've got to get rid of them, but I don't know how to get rid of them. He said, I got it figured out, Nate. But it's going to be ridiculous. And I'm so glad he didn't tell me what the ridiculous was. Because I might have wanted to step back into my comfort zone and says, I'm good with pews. I wanted more seating, and we needed that because we're going to grow into what God has given us, because he doesn't give it if he didn't plan to fill it. He always fills what he creates. And so, but he calls us into the ridiculous. He calls our faith. He calls our faith. Sometimes I'm called to do the ridiculous to see the miraculous. And they're saying, hey, wait. Don't be ridiculous, David. Don't do it. He says, I've been ridiculous all my life. I've been grabbing lions and bears by their mane, and I've been grabbing paws, and I've been grabbing and chunking stuff, not through the power of a measly little wimpy nerdy David, but through the power of the God in me when I step out of myself. Can I tell you something? The amount of Christian believers that really get a hold of what David had is probably very minimal. Even as pastors, I'll say it's very minimal. And I'm not saying that I have grasped all that by just preaching this. But I will tell you this. Then those moments, those times, those seasons in my life where I step out into where David is, where I step out into the ridiculous, is when God shows out the most in my life. Can I get a witness on that? But it's in my comfort zones where I keep God in his nice little package. I keep God in his nice little spot, and I say, oh, you look so nice there. I want to worship you there. You're so cool there. You're a neat little God right there. Thank you, Christ, for what you did on the cross for me. Thank you. That's so neat. Thank you. Let me keep you packaged that way. And he's like, dude, I came off the cross to blow up your world, to do crazy, amazing things in your life. That the cross, thank God for the cross, but thank him more for an empty tomb. Hallelujah, because he came out of that tomb to say this, I'm ready to do something wild and ridiculous. I've just blew everybody's mind by being dead and 3 days later coming up, but I'm ready to do something ridiculous. Anybody want me? Anybody hungry for me? Anybody hungry for some resurrection? Oh, by the way, when you get what I'm talking about, greater things that you will do than what I have done, because the same thing that brought you him out of the grave comes into your life to do something crazy, ridiculous in your life. And God is working feverishly in our life to get you to the end of you, so you can get to the beginning of him. And when he's in this process, we usually, be honest with you, we hate this process. So because we don't like to get to the end of us, to get to the beginning of him, and God is working feverishly to get there. And that is some of the misconception of the church. We have this thought that when we get Jesus, everything just gets, it's just all of a sudden it was bad in the world. And when I come to the church, it's like, hoo-ha. And all of a sudden, I get in the church and I find freedom, there's no doubt. But all of a sudden, struggles, trials, still there. And I wrestle with things. It's not the old things I'm wrestling with. There's new things and there's new giants. But God's working feverishly to get you to the end of you so you can get to the beginning of Him. And so I want to spend the rest of this message. And I'm not going to preach very much longer, but I want to get to the end of this message quickly. That means 15 minutes. And to give you a game plan to defeat the giants in your land. You ready? Number one, you must have resolve. Resolve. I looked up this word, resolve, because you've got to have your resolve. You've got to have something in you, and this is what you've got to have in you. You've got to have something in you that settles the argument. Because there's something going on in your spirit that when you start doing risky business, when you start getting right here, you get right here and you feel a little wind. No. Resolve settles the argument. It's out here and I'm not going back. I'm not going back. I'm not stepping back. My heart was broken this week when I'll never tell anyone who this is, but someone who was very involved in our church that has walked way away from God. And I watched them. I remember when they were out here feeling the power of God, stepping out on God. And there was a Facebook post this week that hurt my heart because I saw them. There was no resolve. And when they felt the pressure, they automatically thought, it's easier back here. What they don't understand is the way of the transgressor is hard. Out here is just struggling in your faith. Over here is hard on the very makeup of the body. But out here, what you're dealing with is faith things, faith struggles. And out here is where you have to have resolve. Can I preach to you like this today? In other words, a settle. You're settling the argument. Because this is where you settle the argument. You don't settle the argument back here going, oh, it's so good at church. No, it's out here in the middle of your struggle, in the middle of your trial, and you don't even hear the voice of God, but you resolve and you settle the argument that I will never return to the vomit from which I came. Come on now. I'll never return to the vomit with that thing. A resolve within my heart that it doesn't matter what I must face, what I must go through, how uncomfortable I may feel, how out of character it may seem to me. It doesn't matter. I will be free in the name of Jesus Christ. David resolved that death with honor was worth than life, was worth more than life with shame. And so he was willing to give up and go for it. He was willing to not stay in the camp where it seemingly was safe. It looks safe, but if somebody don't take this on, you see the giant's going to take us. But sometimes we don't see that in the process of our struggle if you're getting the parallel. But we got to take a step out. It took a David to conquer. Who is it in that section? Who is it in that section? Over there, who's the David in that section that conquers what God wants you to do and absolutely not only fills up the section, but God fills up things in your life and spirit that builds a legacy that people will be in heaven because of you? Who is it way back there in the back, and who will fill these places up? Who more than just filling pews, who will step out on their faith? And let God do the miraculous through you. You must have resolve. David resolved, if the giant kills me, then my last breath on earth is my first breath in heaven. Either way, it's a win. Let's go for it. And life, even when with Jesus on board, you will still have pressures, and you will still have hardships, and you still will have trials. But listen to this. Pressures and hardships and trials are not the same thing as living your life in bondage. And I am sick and tired of bondage in Christians when God is wanting to give them freedom in their life. Bondage is not being able to move because of the fear that has you so engulfed in life. That's not of God. Fear is not of God. Get a resolve within your heart that you will be free. I am not returning to whence I came. I'm not. Jesus wants you to be free. He says in John 8:36, and it's an old scripture that we repeat quite often. So it says this: so if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. There will be opposition. The moment you decide to take on the giant, and the moment you decide in your heart to put your chips on the table, all of heaven will cheer for you, but all of hell will be released, and there will be war against you. There will be opposition, and when you give your life to Jesus and you take on the giant, you know something, there's going to be opposition. There's going to be that, and that's why for you to take and defeat giants, you have to have resolution. You have to have resolve. You got to settle the argument. I want to speak to all the single ladies and single men. All the single ladies. All the single men. You better have resolve. Because when you start stepping out right here, before you make that step, good looking's going to come along. Suave, debonair, good looking, pretty, pretty legs. And you'll step back in your comfort zone and give up what God is wanting you to step into. And you never take the step into God's will and His beauty in your life because it's so easy not to wait on God and grab a hold of what you want to in your world. Boy, I'm trying to be your pastor right now and preach it with love, but I'm just here to tell you, all the single ladies and all the single men, you better hear me because I'm just telling you something. God is speaking to all of us today to take the step of faith and believe and trust Him. Man. The next step. Remember, God's trying to get to the end of you so that you have to depend on Him. The next step for you to defeat your giants is isolation. I don't even like that word, y'all. I don't even like that word. So we got to resolve some things. We got to settle some arguments in our life. But the next thing is we got to have isolation. And what does that mean? I go like in a corner and I don't talk to nobody. No. What I'm talking about on isolation being, God is always trying to get us into the wilderness. He's always calling us into the wilderness. I hate the wilderness. Now that's even hard to laugh about, right? You're like, I ain't going to the wilderness. No, He's trying to call you in the wilderness. Where did we get this concept that when God calls us in the wilderness, it's always a bad thing? God's calling us into the wilderness because He wants to spend one-on-one time with you and your daddy. American Christians hate wildernesses because we hate us and God being one-on-one and God convicting and dealing with my heart. I don't mean bad things happening. See, we always put wilderness with bad things. When great things happen to every man and woman in the world of God, Word of God, He always wanted to call them to a secret place. A place where He can deal with their heart. Because you can't deal with lions and you can't deal with bears unless you've been on the backside of a mountain somewhere in conversation with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the God of the mountains and the stars and the hills and the valley. If you don't have conversation on the back hills, you'll never step in a valley with a giant. You've got to have isolation. And I'm fearful, and this is just me talking. I'm fearful that the American church loves church and loves praise and worship, but we hate getting one-on-one with God. But one-on-one with God is where we're going to bring the revival that God wants the church to have in this generation. Come on now. Man. In the wilderness, it's just me and my Heavenly Father. It's me and Daddy. And there's a purpose in our wilderness. We're at the end of ourselves. We're at the end of the map, the GPS. And he says, Nate. And I'm like, it's off the GPS. You sure? Lord, I've never been here before. That's where I was saying at Harvey. Lord, oh, we don't have a church building. I don't know if you noticed it. We have a note. I've got signs that there were a church. But Lord, we don't have a building. Trust me, Nate. It's going to be all right. And on the other side, I have people walking in here now, even preachers walking here going, man, you guys are lucky. You guys are, this is amazing, man. I'm like, should have seen a wilderness. Because in the wilderness, what I was scared to step into wasn't so bad when I got there, because when I got there, God was with me in the process. And if God is with me in the process, I can go through hell and high water. Because I can step through it because I got Daddy by my side. Come on. Come on. Philistines, they got a little 9 foot, 6 inch swag. I got Big Daddy swag. I got God Almighty saying, I created this valley. You want to go there with me? I created this mountain. You want to step in here with me? I'm the God of the hills and the mountains and the rivers and the streams. I'm the God who spoke and all this came into existence. You want to walk with me? Because if you walk with me, I got the armor. I got the power. Grab that slingshot. Let's go, son. Let's go. Pick up five. We'll use all five of them. We'll take him and his brothers out. We're gonna kick backside of the devil. You got to step into it. You got to get ridiculous if you're going to see the miraculous. Man, I wish I'd inspired you today. Not just a, I don't mean like a, just smiley smile, get you, whoo, but something in your gut that says, I want what God has for me. I'm not through preaching, but I'm real, real, real close. He wants me in the wilderness because in the wilderness, there's no competition between his voice and your ears. There's so many voices, God. So many voices. Do this, do that. Don't do this. God, there's so many voices. There's so much politics and so much movies and celebrities and this podcast and that thing and this and God, oh, mercy and government and life and stuff and everything screaming and God saying, do you hear me anymore? Do you trust me anymore? I love you. Hey, I love you. Come with me. Shut off all of the things in life and isolate yourself in his presence. And one of the ways we can step in the wilderness of our life, see, I'll tell you, it don't have to be something bad. That's what prayer is. Prayer is stepping into an isolation place. It's a place where I go, hey, God, it's just me and you. Nobody even knows I'm here, God. God, everything's off. I'm not listening to even, there's nothing wrong with this, but I'm not even listening to my favorite worship song, Lord, right now. It's just me and you. And there's silence. It's isolation. Hey, Daddy, call me. Speak to me. I've got got some giants, God. But I've got a God. I've resolved some things in my life. I'm in the church of the living God till you come. I've resolved that. But I'm going to isolate myself for power in your presence. I'm going to isolate myself for you to build my muscles. I'm going to isolate myself in your presence so you can bring depth to this Christian. You can develop me. That a little wind doesn't come and I go, oh, she offended me, I'm leaving. Come on, deepen me. Hold me. Speak to me. That no matter what comes, that I can hold, you can hold, we can hold, we can know that this is true and this I'm sure of, that I love Jesus Christ and he loves me. I'm assured that I don't understand him, and when I think I understand him, I realize I don't. I don't understand it, but I'm resolved in this, and I'm confident in this. He first loved me. Resolved in that. That I don't want any of the world. I don't want it. I'm not going to play with it. I'm going to toy with it. I'm going to try to see how much I can do it and play on the line. See, come on, come on. No, no. I want all. I just want to know him. Anybody with me? I just want to know him. I just want to know him, and I want to be known by him, and I want to isolate myself, and I want to hear his voice, and I want him to speak into me. I want him to speak into me. Thank you, Pastor, all this. But Lord, I just right now need to hear the voice of God. I need to hear his way, his truth, his life. Cut out the interference. God's not angry with you because you're going through opposition. He's not angry with you because you're at a place of hardship. He's not angry with you because you're in opposition or trials or tribulation. No, 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 no. No, he loves you. He's not judging you because things are difficult. He wants you right where you are so you can get to the end of you and the beginning of him. And my last point is this. If you're going to defeat giants in your life, you must have vision. Vision. What do I mean by that? What do I mean by vision? I honestly believe this, and I think that's why he stated the story about the bear and the lion. Because I believe David was, I can pick up on David, he's a very creative guy. Very artsy, creative guy. And I really believe he was a visionary. And I believe he told that story about the lion, the bear. I think he was giving his resume, but also in his mind was seeing a head of a Goliath swinging from his hands before he ever stepped into the valley. You've got to see the enemy defeated. You must have vision before you step in the valley. That what I'm stepping in with is powerful enough to bring down any giant in my life. And I see it before I get there. The line of the old head of the giant. Forgive me for being gross. But I can see him stepping back out. Cutting the head of that giant off. Grabbing hold of the hair of that nappy-headed giant that probably hadn't brushed his teeth. And walking down through the Israel camp and saying, look what my God did. You said it couldn't happen. You asked me if I saw the giant. Oh, yeah, I saw the giant. But I didn't see him the same way you did. You saw him through fear. I saw him through faith of what he's done for me in the past. And now I'm stepping into my now believing that even before it gets there, God's going to give me the head of the giant before I even step into the ring with the giant. You must have vision if you're going to fish. This past week, my brother and I and my dad went on a guided fishing trip. Oh, it was so much fun. But the guide said one thing that was worth me going on the trip. He said this. He said, one of the biggest things about catching fish is this. You gotta believe you're gonna catch fish. He said, because if you step on this boat and you never believe you're going to catch fish, you're probably not going to catch fish. But if you step in here and you believe it, you'll fish different, you'll act different, you'll be ready, you'll be inspired. Can I just tell you something? You've got to believe God's going to give you victory even before you step in to the ring. You've got to believe God, because if you don't, your demeanor is different. And I see Christians stepping in the ring like this. I'm going to get you. And you know what happens when you step in there with that little demeanor? I don't think I'm going to win. And the giant starts saying, is that what you sent me? That's all you got? All of a sudden you start losing your resolve. You start stepping back because you never had vision of victory before you got there. But you've got to step in with vision. Is this all right for somebody today? Step into vision. I've got this. God's given me this. Some of you, maybe he's calling you, and I'm not trying to start something if it's not the will of God, but some of you, God's called you to step out on a new business, or he's called you to step out into a new level, a new place, and serve God in a new dimension. Some of you, he's called you to, and I honestly believe this, I believe in this room, there are people that are going to be blessed financially because you have been faithful to God and he can trust you. He's going to bless you in abundance, and that way you can bless the kingdom of God and we can move forward and greater. I believe that. You know why? I already see it. I already believe it. I already see the head of debt being swung from Parkway Life Church, and God giving us everything that we've always needed to pay off every debt. I'm not trying to, we're not about to take an offering, don't get nervous, but I'm here to tell you, God has got everything already figured out, and come on, anybody see it with me? Anybody have vision with me? Anybody going to step in the ring of your financial struggle? Anybody going to step in the ring of the opposition that's coming up against you? Anybody going to step in the ring of your fears and your worries and your doubt and say, I don't come here on my own because in myself I'm scared to death, but I come here in the name of the Almighty God. I'm not stepping back. I've been isolated with the King of Kings. I've got a bear head on my wall. I've got a lion mane on my wall. I got to tell you, I'll have a giant head on my wall because God's going to give me victory, and I see it before I get there. Would you stand with me and shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph and say, God, I'm believing, I'm believing, I'm believing, I'm believing in the name.